Chapter 1, Deck 8, Promenade Deck, Explorations Cafe.
Welcome to the world of the art on the Prinsendam. Now don't worry, this isn't going to be one of those dull museum tours that requires a couple of hours of your close attention. You don't even have to whisper. But it will give you a starting point to help you appreciate some of the art treasures on board. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. We're going to take you around the Prinsendam today and show you some of the art selected for this ship by Holland America Line. Now that you've picked up your tour, have a seat here or in the Java Bar and get comfortable while we explain a little about the tour.
First, a little background. Art has always been important to Holland America, and traditionally the ships have always been filled with notable art. Today, the collection ranks among the largest at sea and is worth many millions of dollars. As you'll see as we take you on the tour, the art includes many museum-quality antiques as well as contemporary art by recognized artists and some newcomers. Stein Cruz, president and CEO of Holland America Line, explains how important the art is to the line's heritage.
When Holland America Line was founded in 1873, our company quickly became a leader in bringing new and modern innovations to cruising. And to this present day, we continue that proud tradition. As you follow along on this art tour, notice how our architect Frans Dingemans has created a unique environment for you to enjoy. And Frans has placed the art very carefully to create a comfortable setting where you can enjoy all the onboard experiences we have for you.
Just outside the Explorations Cafe, in the Java Bar and Cafe area, are some interesting maritime maps. They're reproductions of marine paintings by famous Dutch maritime painters, and they convey the detail of those early maps.
The technique they used in creating these is called pen painting. Instead of painting with brushes, some marine artists in the 17th century in Holland developed the art of drawing with India ink on panels grounded, well, that's an artist's word for the background color, grounded with white oil paint. This allowed for minute detail of the ships and allowed them to portray the exact events of a naval action. The originals of these paintings are in a maritime museum in Holland.
Let's go out to the right through the Explorer's Lounge on the starboard side of the ship. Much of the sculpture you see here in the lounge is made with a remarkable material patented by Gilbert Le Bigre and Corinne Roger. This husband and wife team of artists from Italy created Eco Deco as a material for their work on ships. It's a remarkable substance that they use to make objects look like anything from stone to metal. In fact, their art is found on all Holland America ships, and while much of it is in bronze or marble, Eco Deco is one of their favorite mediums.
We asked Gilbert Le Bigre how they came to develop the material.
We have been working on some kind of chemistry, alchemistry kitchen to find the way to make an alternative to the plastic and to have something which is ecologic, non-toxic, and in the same time that can fit for shipbuilding, which means elasticity, which means quality for painting, for decorating. And that's how we came up with the Eco Deco.
Over the circular staircase is one of Gilbert Le Bigre's casts of a Florentine Baroque head in Eco Deco. And as you walk into the Explorer's Lounge, well, you can't miss the wonderful sculptures of two sleeping lions. They're bookending the lounge's comfortable seating right there in the center. They really stand out in the room.
And I think this Explorer's Lounge is very comfy with it. It has kind of a warm feeling, don't you think? It's the perfect setting maybe for a quiet drink while you take in the atmosphere and admire the art.
And I think the lions are made as majestic accents to the room. They seem to convey the feeling that these two lions are, well, passively guarding their guests.
Oh, I feel much more secure.
And further inside on the wall is this large mural by Ian Kearney. It's done in oil on aluminum and gives an excellent representation of a variety of old seagoing vessels and the huge armed ships of the time. As you can see, they were well equipped with cannon on both port and starboard sides and ready for action.
Kearney is a versatile and exceptionally talented muralist. I guess he's considered a Trump loyal painter, but he can tackle any style of painting. He simply sees himself as an artist who can bring something special to the viewer.
Well, the marine painting is something special, I think, quite separate from the usual trompe l'oeil painting, but it's always been very challenging in its own way, because I've had to do research for it, and it's you learn so much by looking at other paintings and at other times of painting, other styles. So that's why I've enjoyed it particularly, both in the for the Rotterdam and the Prinsendam. I think I worked on two. It really is quite special.
You know, when I visited Ian in London, he told me that he teaches art in college. I asked him what he tries to leave his students with, and his answer really surprised me.
What I'm trying to do is teach the craft, really, the craft of painting, and really trying to help them to see how important the marks that you make on the canvas are, and how they convey. It's not emotions, no. It's just that it's like learning a language. You know, one mark makes one kind of sound, if you like, and another makes a different one.
He makes learning to paint sound positively simple. Of course, great artists in any medium always make the process of creating their art seem simple. As we head further aft in the Explorer's Lounge, we see Mojana, a pastel paperwork of traditional Dutch sailing ships by Paul Carabin of the Netherlands. Done in soft pastels on a very special paper, it continues the ongoing nautical theme of much of Holland America's art here in the lounge.
Now that's a different medium than most artists use for their maritime paintings, but here, the material allows the artist to create a different type of sailing vessel with strong, definite, bold lines that would be recognizable to any seaman.
Now, before we leave this area, I want you to take a look, well, down, to the beautiful Italian marble and granite floor in the design of a compass rose. The story goes that the floor in this room used to be wood, but after 6 months at sea, it was decided to do the floor in stone. The workmanship is really extraordinary.
You know that these inlaid and very intricate stone floors are a signature of Holland America's ships. They can be found with different designs on almost all the ships. Well, this one is really beautiful.
And finally, as we exit the Explorer's Lounge, we see a series of seven unique reproductions known as, well, Navigorium Edificatio.
Ah, easy for you to say.
The building of a ship. It's dated from 1725. These reproductions depict the processes of building a ship in great detail. The originals were a creation of the famed Dutch maritime draftsman and watercolorist Seward van der Meulen in the late 17th century.
I'm glad you got all the hard words that time. Well, you may wonder why the process he shows is unfinished here, but that's because these are only a part of the series of prints. The other ones in the series are on deck 7 outside the Pinnacle Grill. You'll see those later on the tour.
And as we leave the Explorer's Lounge, well, we'll head aft and stop near the aft elevators. As a reminder, we're on deck 8, the promenade deck. And looking in on the starboard side, in a corner, is a beautifully detailed model of a Venetian gondola in a glass display case. In some ways, it's almost abstract in form, but it absolutely captures the look and feel of a style of boat that is, well, very identified with Venice. It's so realistic, well, you feel as you could step in it and enjoy a romantic cruise of the Venetian canals.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you were 6 inches tall, that is.
Oh.
Well, now you might want to put your iPod on pause here, as we'll be heading down, either by stairs or the aft elevator, one deck down to the La Fontaine dining room, lower promenade deck, for our next chapter. Chapter 2, Deck 7, Lower Promenade Deck, La Fontaine Dining Room.
Here we are at the La Fontaine Dining Room. Now, at first glance, this dining room doesn't seem to be filled with art, but follow us and we'll show you some very interesting works. First, let's go in the aft La Fontaine Dining Room, and as you enter, turn right and look at the art in the mirrored alcove. It's entitled Longing, and it's by Norwegian artist Ellen von Rosen. I think it captures the colors of the fjords in late summer.
Maybe that's what the artist is longing for. This is really a form of woven fabric sculpture. It can't be easy to weave all those textures together in that intricate weaving she uses.
Now let's retrace our steps to the lobby and enter the forward section of the La Fontaine dining room. On your left, as we go forward, you will come to one of several paintings of angels.
These are by the famous Dutch artist Hetty Beerenbrugspot. She's done large murals for other Holland America ships, but here she's created these smaller works on the theme of angels. These are silk-screened with gold leaf, and each is a striking portrait accented with bold colors and outlined in more gold.
Now you'll notice the classic architecture in the scene. She travels a lot and has a particular fondness for ancient cultures and civilizations, which she uses for inspiration in her work. And she actually paints in a studio in Amsterdam filled with statues and artifacts from ancient archaeological sites and ruins, which she collects on her many travels.
Now, see the curved staircase? Well, that leads down from the Explorer's Lounge where we began, and there's Le Bigre's Echo Deco head again on the wall.
Now, keep heading forward to the Ocean Bar, and there you'll see a series of paintings by Impressionist painter Neil Pinkett. As one of Cornwall's most prominent artists, Pinkett lives close to the Atlantic Ocean, where the often wild beauty of the North Atlantic serves as a perpetual source of inspiration. And on the way into the Ocean Bar, take a look on the right at his Late Sun Through Clouds. It's a very dramatic ocean scene with rich and varied colors of the deep blue sea and the dramatic reflection of the sun through a very stormy sky.
Now, by contrast, on the left as you enter, you'll see another of his works in this series. It's called Atlantic Light. And in this one, well, I don't know, you can just kind of feel the warm rays of the sun bursting through the clouds and, well, hopefully signaling fair weather to come. Well, and as you leave the Ocean Bar, you'll pass his work titled Bright Lights, Mounts Bay. Now, in this one, the idea is to show the way water reacts to light and how colors are formed on the surface. Notice the foaming white caps and in the background the sky heavy with rain clouds. You know, for me, Paul, it brings back memories of walking along the shore in Fowey in Cornwall. Remember, the storm was coming and it felt all kind of menacing?
And also, nearly hidden behind the seats along the wall, check out the ancient Roman amphora, which date from about 150 AD. You know, they were recovered from shipwrecks in the Mediterranean Sea. The Romans typically, well, they stowed these amphora in sand or padded them with straw to protect them from the movement of the ship. They used them to ship almost anything, but most commonly wine and olive oil. Think of the fact that these are around 2,000 years old. There are probably thousands of shipwrecks in the Mediterranean, and as techniques for finding them improve, some really remarkable discoveries are going to be made. The Roman ships of this period have as many as 2,000 amphora aboard. That's about 12,000 gallons of wine or olive oil.
Wow. Well, notice the marine growth on these. These specimens are actually fairly clean. They were probably buried in sand, which protected them at least somewhat.
Let's continue forward through the Ocean Bar and left around the bandstand to the foyer of the Pinnacle Grill, which is on the port side of the ship.
You'll be midships at this point, and here you can see a very elaborate inlaid granite design in the floor. The craftsmanship of the marble floor is simply beautiful, and you can easily miss it if you just forget to look down. And be sure to look up as well, or you'll miss touches like these Venetian glass lighting fixtures. They have flecks of real gold fused into the glass. That's a technique that Venetian glassmakers began using centuries ago.
As you leave the Pinnacle Grill, you'll find the rest of the series of van der Meulen's Building of a Ship. Remember, we saw the first ones in the Explorer's Lounge.
Chapter 3, Deck 7, Lower Promenade Deck, Main Staircase. Walking to the main staircase in the atrium, the first thing we see is a crystal glass tube of fish swimming through kelp. The images are etched on the glass, and the overall effect of this tall vertical tube captures the marine environment. The light from the room filters through it, much as it might through the ocean waters. It emphasizes and captures the light coming into the room.
Now, it's an etched glass creation by the master producers of art glass, Bolai, a trade name that is a combination of the two partner designers' last names, Garrison Boyce and Donald Layer. They've been producing art glass for over 25 years in Miami. They specialize in carved, etched, and colored creative design.
And behind the crystal column, providing a three-dimensional feel of swimming in her aquatic habitat, is a mermaid figurehead. Well, now, she's not part of the glass installation.
And yet, she fits the scene like she belongs in it.
Absolutely. She's beautiful. I always wanted to be a mermaid. Oh, well. Continuing forward on Deck 7, the lower promenade deck, past the forward staircase, well, here we see two very large sculpted and frosted glass panels depicting Dutch East Indies ships. Now, these are also by Bolai.
As we were researching the art on the Prince and Dam, we ran into some guests who wanted to share their thoughts on what the art meant to them.
Maggie Kent was here admiring the art. It's an interesting experience being on a ship that's filled with art, isn't it?
Absolutely, I love it.
Do you think that the cultural aspects of a vacation are important?
Absolutely. I always make time to visit museums while I'm in foreign countries, and seeing it here on the ship has really enriched my experience.
When you travel in general, how much of a factor is the art that you see or the artistic or cultural aspects of a place you visit? How much a part of the travel experience is that, or how much do you think it enriches your travel experience?
Well, I've found that when I look at the art of any specific culture, it really gives me a window onto the culture that I wouldn't find somewhere else. Even in talking to people or shopping or all the other things, eating that I like to do while I travel, the art really shows me things about the history and the people of the country that I wouldn't find other places.
And don't miss another of Ellen von Rosen's fabric wall hangings. This one is on the starboard side of the atrium and is called Stone by the Coast. Notice how she varies the weaving technique from the one we saw earlier in the La Fontaine dining room. Now, for our next chapter, let's begin at the main staircase in the atrium.
Now, from here, head back up one level to the upper promenade deck, Deck 8. Either take the forward elevators or the main staircase. Put your iPod on pause until you get to the front office. Chapter 4, Deck 8, Promenade Deck, Front Office.
Now, this is about the halfway point of our tour, and here we see a very remarkable abstract of Scandinavian sculpture by contemporary Norwegian artist Nicholas Widerberg of Norway, simply entitled Ship. Widerberg created this abstract granite and marble sculpture of a Viking ship in 1988. The sculpture actually moves slightly with the movement of the ship.
And see how the artist has altered the texture of the granite base. That adds to the scale of this piece and gives it a larger feeling of size, makes it even more imposing in the space.
On either side of the front office, you'll see these wide murals depicting the colorful and dramatic Dutch tulip fields. They're by Tom Dubbeldam. They're painted on aluminum, and that gives the colors, well, added intensity. But there's more to these paintings than meets the eye at first. The artist, Tom Dubbeldam, shares his secrets and some thoughts about the art with us.
I'd like to try to take a view on the world as a child, as I was a child. Because when you look through the eyes of a child, well, then you wonder about things, and then there is something mystic and something, well, astonishing about everything. So in everyday life, I think there are scenes or situations you can think of that would normally be looked over by the normal audience, and I think it's my job take them by the hand and let them see how beautiful things really are. I think that's the main purpose I want to show, that everyday things are worth to look after and to look after carefully and say, hey, man, this is a beautiful world. Why didn't I notice this before?
But Dubbeldam made these panels for this place exactly because of the space and the way the paintings interacted with that space.
Well, the tulip fields are very well known, also in the United States, of course. And I thought that especially the place in the Princeton Annuation we were talking on of is that all the lines in, from the flower fields direct towards one direction, and that's the door. It must be a beautiful guidance for people with all these lines converging to one point, and it's because there are two pieces on the left and the right side from the door. And so that people will naturally be attracted to go to the center, to go towards the door, and to go to the next room. And that's why I made it.
Remember we said he told us there was a secret? Listen to this.
I use a combination of abstract and figurative painting. That is to say that I use blind spots of colors I bring on with my palette knife. So I begin from an abstract idea. And if you leave the high horizon out of the picture, you can't see what it is. Just adding a high horizon to it in this specific case, you can see it's a landscape. And if you take two steps back, you can see there are tulip fields. And actually, if you turn back again, then you can recognize the individual tulips on the foreground. But initially, it wasn't the idea to paint all those tulips, and they are not done as easy as that. It's just to give the viewer an idea that some kind of a trick, and otherwise it's part of the magic world I try to let them see. Well, hey, you're looking at a tulip field, or several tulip fields, so to say, and if you take a step back, you say, hey, this is easy, there's a pattern in it with all these convergent lines pointing towards the door. And if you go further and further off, it's almost a realistic painting. But if you take some more step towards it, then it remains abstract. And that's a funny thing I like to do in a technical way.
There's always more to art than meets the eye. By the way, have you noticed the Viking ship engravings on the side of the elevator doors? They're very elaborate designs that you can see in Viking art, well, in many museums. The elaborate designs are framed by Norwegian colored granite.
For our next chapter, pause your iPod as we head up to Deck 12, the sports deck. As you reach the forward elevator lobby, well, notice some very interesting textiles of birds in a tree and a farm scene. They'll be located in the corridor on your left. Chapter 5, Deck 12, Sports Deck, Crow's Nest.
Now, continuing towards the Crow's Nest, through the corridor on the port or left side, you'll see a collection of, well, they're gifts given to the Princedom at various ports of call by various officials over the years, from the Native American Indian headdress to a cloisonné vase. Now, when you enter the Crow's Nest, you'll see some very colorful marine paintings by Frans Maunders. They're entitled Sea Life. Now, Maunders paints in the Netherlands, and he's done work for several ships in the Holland America fleet. We first met him in Holland when he was mounting an exhibit of his underwater paintings. He told us about his fascination for the color under the sea, and I think, well, you can really see that color in these works.
Now, as you walk past the great view forward from the windows of the Crow's Nest and go over to the starboard side, you'll see a painting by Joss Luers called Canyon du Verdun. It's from a location in France. Notice the amazing color. It really captures the light of that part of France. It's a very beautiful landscape.
Well, moving on, let's retrace our steps back to the forward staircase. Place your iPod on pause and we'll meet you one deck down in the forward staircase. That's deck 11. And we'll begin our next chapter there.
Chapter 6, Deck 11, Lido Deck, Forward.
Welcome to the forward staircase in Deck 11. Now, if you walk the stairs, you will have seen another of the large Echo Deco pieces by Le Bigre and Roger. This one is a reproduction of another large Florentine head.
And here in the forward staircase lobby of Deck 11, you'll see this beautifully detailed builder's model of the Viking Sun. That's the ship that became the Princedom. It's a builder's model used in construction. Now, before we see some remarkable art in the staircase below, take a short detour with us to the Neptune Lounge on the port side, forward.
And in the Neptune Lounge are two ship models depicting, well, traditional Dutch sailing ships. They're facing one another. There's some amazing detail in the rigging of the sails. Notice that these traditional ships had flat bottoms and boards at both sides in order to make them more suitable for sailing in the shallow coastal waters of Holland.
And also notice the two large pastel drawings of ships. They were done by Dutch artist Paul Carabin.
Now think of this forward staircase as, well, a vertical art gallery. You can either walk or take the elevator as we continue down from deck 11. In this staircase, you'll find some remarkable historical marine paintings by noted maritime artist Captain Stephen J. Card.
One of Holland America's cruise directors, Tom Faulkner, pointed out these to us on an early tour of the ship. He feels the guests also appreciate the glimpse into history they provide.
Yeah, that's right, actually. There's a number of absolutely beautiful portraits, and you'll see them throughout most of our ships by Captain Stephen Card. And it's interesting to walk up and down the stairwells and look at the old Princeton Dam versus the new Princeton Dam and seeing ships passing in the ocean as he's conceived them as he's sitting in his studio in Bermuda. And he just has it's like looking at a photograph, but it's in a photograph that could never happen. You're seeing ships that probably never passed each other in history, but it's a way to look at the old and the new through the eyes of a very talented hand. But it's not just those pictures, it's the models of the ships, the old and the new Princeton Dam, the artwork, some of the historic artwork we have, and knots and pictures and those kinds of things.
As Tom points out, these paintings show the Princeton Dam over the years in historical settings. Not only are they an historical record, but they show some remarkable views of maritime shipping over the decades. Stephen Card is widely regarded as one of the world's ranking marine painters.
We talked with him in Bermuda, where he told us about his love of the sea.
Well, I've always painted. As a young boy, I painted various pictures. But when I was 17, I went away to sea, and I worked at sea for 13 years, rising through the ranks and eventually became captain on cargo ships. And I came back to Bermuda in 1984 and worked for a couple of years as harbor master. And then after that, I was not a very good civil servant, shall we say, and I decided to go back to sea, and while waiting for a job, I took up painting again. And then I sold a couple of paintings and decided to take up a full-time career as an artist.
One day he was asked to paint portraits of some of the Holland America fleet, and ever since he has chronicled the history of each ship with a series of paintings.
Further down on the veranda deck, deck 10, take a brief break from marine painting and see some history of a different sort. In the elevator lobby is a marvelous Japanese kimono presented as a gift to the ship. It's full of symbolism in the embroidery. The beautiful rich colors with gold inlay of cranes and flowers symbolize treasure or wealth. And the magnificent gray flying cranes, well, they symbolize long life.
And it's really interesting because this dramatically colored kimono is worn over the white bridal wedding kimono at a wedding reception. Typically, kimonos of red silk often have embroidery that creates an entire theme or motif. And they often use an intricate gold thread in a technique called hiranui.
Typically, Japanese women rent their kimono for this special day because of the enormous cost. They are almost always dramatically stunning and eye-catching. On cruises to the Orient, well, you might see a Japanese wedding in one of the Shinto shrines if you're lucky.
Continuing back down the staircase again on deck 10 to deck 9, we see yet another Stephen Card painting. This one depicts three Holland America ships docked near the old Holland America headquarters building in Rotterdam. The ships are the Amsterdam, the Stadendam, and the first Princendam. You know, you can visit the original headquarters building in Rotterdam. Today, it's a very popular hotel and restaurant. It's called the Hotel New York.
Captain Card's understanding of the sea and how ships operate has served him very well while he captures on canvas these great ships from both the past and present. And the attention to detail is just amazing, and it reflects the huge amount of research that goes into each of his paintings. All of his Holland America paintings can be found in his book, Holland America Line, The Spotless Fleet.
Moving down one more level, we reach Upper Promenade Deck, Deck 9. Notice again the intricate Viking-inspired engraving on the elevator doors. Now enter the elevator and go back up to the Lido Deck, Deck 11, and walk aft to the Lido restaurant. Now please pause your iPods until you get there. Chapter 7, Deck 11, Lido Deck, Lido Restaurant. Now far aft in the Lido restaurant are a couple of lovely paintings. On the starboard side is an ocean painting by Franz Maunders, and on the port side, another painting by Jolure of Provence. It really captures the light in a canyon. I think every artist going to Provence tries to capture that light. And look at the inlaid work on the wood wall. Very masterful. Simple yet elegant. It's one of those small touches that add to the ambience and style aboard the Prince and Dame.
As you exit from the Lido, notice another ship model in the aft elevator lobby. This one is of the original Prince and Dame from 1973 to 1980. She's lovingly remembered by those who sailed on her. Tom Faulkner is cruise director. Tom, you know, why is the Prince and Dame such a special ship in the fleet?
Well, it's special in that it's unique. It fills a niche. We have a phenomenal crew that really becomes a family through the course of the cruise. It's certainly one of the high points, and it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to electronically be able to walk through the ship.
Leaving the Lido restaurant, we'll be at the aft elevators of the Lido deck, Deck 11, where we'll start our next chapter.
Chapter 8, Deck 11, Lido Deck. Well, this is another vertical art gallery, like the one in the forward staircase. And going down the stairs, you'll see some marvelous art. And you'll pass another head by Le Bigre and Roger. You know, since they have done so much art on Holland America ships, we asked them what art means in their lives.
We have chosen to live in art like an adventure. We are trying to stay out of the circuit of the traditional museums or things like this. We love to enter in adventure. Like, first of all, we have passion for the ship, like we have passion for carnival, or like we have passion for opera. These are our three main passions. So working for a ship is just something unbelievable for what you're doing, but also for what happens around you. You can't imagine a ship when it's built and it's raw iron, and you see all these guys wearing working suits and things, and you have pipes and flash of welding machines and all these things, and you enter in that world, and suddenly it gets constructed and built and decorated, and it becomes a dreaming machine that's going to cross the sea, and to be part of that, you know, and build something like an extremely oniric thing, like a clock or like a, it's just something that any artist would ever dream to do, yeah.
That's something that we've found in talking with so many of the artists who've created works for the ships. There's something, well, in the inspiration they find in knowing that their work will travel around the world and be admired by so many people. Now continue walking or taking the elevator down to Deck 9. You'll see yet another Stephen Card painting, this time of the Prince and Dame sailing at speed through the English Channel. That must have been an amazing sight.
Continue down the aft staircase to the Promenade Deck 8, and further down there are other paintings by Card that you can see. Next is one he did of the Prince and Dame in Alaska.
We finally reach the lower Promenade Deck, Deck 7. Here you'll see the Rotterdam 5, full speed, across the Atlantic.
Did you know that gray was the original color of all the Holland America ships?
Well, I learned that from a Stephen Card painting. Now, let's go down to the main deck, 6, to to see Stephen Card's painting of the Staten Dam in Bermuda. This is where Card began his painting career, and he knows the seas around Bermuda extremely well. We reach the main deck and the last Card painting, showing the old New Amsterdam on her last voyage across the Atlantic in 1973. Sailing past the Veendam, the ships are saluting each other. Imagine that moment.
Well, it's time to head back up to the promenade deck, Deck 8, to the Erasmus Library, where you can return your iPod if you borrowed one. But your art experience with Holland America doesn't have to end here. You can download podcasts of art tours on other Holland America ships from the website at hollandamerica.com. And you can continue your art experience aboard Prinsendam. Well, you're sure to discover more art as you continue your cruise.
You know, we haven't shown you all the treasures aboard the Prinsendam. For instance, there are the historical photos that have been hand-tinted to look like color photos, or the collection of hand-tied knots that are really works of art. And, oh well, just go exploring. You'll find it great fun. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. Have a wonderful cruise.